Krasner, and you're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
It's Monday morning. My name is Keith Brown Eel. Welcome to Jaws of Justice Radio. Today, we want to start off by sharing the loss of the families of those who have died in service to this country. Their sacrifice imposes on all of us the responsibility to make sure our government lives up to the promises of freedom and self-determination which these soldiers died protecting. In the first part of our show, we talk with Max Parthas and Yolhan Elia of Move to Abolish 21st Century Slavery and Human Trafficking and Modern Abolitionists. They are also hosts of the online radio show, The New Abolitionists. In the second half of the show, host Jessica Thomas is in to update us on the newly passed medical cannabis legislation here in Missouri and talks with some of the patients this new law may affect. Have your pens and paper ready for our calendar of events and stick around for the 420 Drug War news after the show.
We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes. We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes. Until the killing of black men, black mothers, sons, is as important as the killing of white men, white mothers, sons. We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We believe in freedom, freedom cannot rest. That which touches me most is that I had a chance to work with people, passing on to others that which was passed on to me.
Yes, my name is Jeff Humfeld, and welcome to Jaws of Justice Radio. To begin today's show, we will deal with the misconception that slavery was actually abolished by the 14th Amendment. It was not. Then this Thursday on the Heartland Labor Forum, we will air the other part of this show that deals with the use of prison labor in the U.S. I have two guests. Both are hosts of the online radio show, The New Abolitionist, and hold what some consider a controversial view, that we must abolish the prison-industrial complex. That controversy is carried forward by the misconceptions that this system keeps us safe, rehabilitates criminals, and more importantly, who it is that goes to prison and why they go to prison. I want to welcome Yolhan Elia. He's here on the phone in Kansas City. Well, it looks like we've lost both of our guests. The 14th Amendment abolished slavery in the United States, but there is an exception to that rule. There is an exception within that amendment, which is that you can be enslaved if you are convicted of a crime. And that is one of the things that we're going to deal with today, the difference between reform and abolition. Many folks think that you can reform this system. We, you know, from the courts all the way down to the prisons, we've done this thing with the privatization of the prisons, which takes the responsibility of the citizens out of taking care of these folks that are wards of the state, so to say. Well, welcome, Johanna. Are you there with us now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and hopefully Max will call in yet. You know, we've working with Jaws of Justice Radio, I've become aware of a number of groups that are working on this issue of prison abolition. You and Max, and you have a third member to your group that you guys are you part of a particular group, or you're just doing this on your own, or what exactly is going on there?
Well, Scotty Reed is the founder and chairman of the Black Talk Radio Network, where he it's actually a part of the Black Talk Media Project, an effort that he started a while back to be sure that grassroots radio was reflective of what we feel are the needs, you know, of the community that we're seeing go unserved. So that's been a fairly successful movement that he started, and Max actually was the first one to introduce me to the modern abolitionism movement through his working with Scotty on the show, and as we're all friends through Facebook and have, you know, a lot of ideas of the same, you know, type of order, I actually asked that I become a part of what they're doing. They were looking for a third wheel, so to speak, and, you know, it's been a happy marriage. We're able to come together, put our heads together, and hopefully make a dent in this problem.
Well, let's go back to what I was saying when I was trying to get you back on the line, which is, you know, most people, when they hear you want to do away with prisons, they start to panic. You know, they're throwing their hands up, they're running around like chickens with their heads cut off or whatever. There is a rational discussion that can be held here about these issues. Why abolition instead of trying to fix the system that we have?
Well, the short answer to that is, from our perspective and based on the words of the law, as you mentioned, 13th Amendment having so-called abolished slavery, the short answer would be, would you reform slavery? And that's definitely how we look at it. The reformation of slavery is the continuation of slavery. So we're demanding a death of slavery with no exceptions, no compromises. And as long as in that 13th Amendment, this is just the first step, in that 13th Amendment, the exception says that slavery is abolished unless a person has been convicted of a crime. So through New Abolitionist Radio and Move to Abolish 21st Century Slavery, we go in at length showing day after day continuing crimes against humanity as far as people being wrongfully convicted, systems being corrupt, judges being corrupt, police, which were originally slave catchers, being corrupt, crime lab associates being corrupt. I mean, so however you're able to corral and kidnap people into slavery, that's why we say it needs to be torn down, because it doesn't work from its roots.
Let's talk about some of the things that this move to abolish 21st century slavery and human trafficking, what you stand for, and want all private prisons abolished. All right, what's the story with private prisons in particular? What do you see as the biggest problem with those prisons?
Well, private prisons is pretty straightforward deal. Private prisons indicates these are individuals that are making a corporate effort to generate a profit. So I don't see where any connection should be made between the two. You should not be looking at corralling and amassing bodies and filling beds by contract. You shouldn't be looking at that as human beings as a profit motive like that. And we know that this not only involves them filling beds, which they do, private prisons sign contracts with the states all over this country for 80, 90, and even 100% capacity contracts, which extend for 5, 10, 15, and even 20 years. So when you're tying social order and what we all hope to see, the continuation of the crime rates going down, and you're tying that to an obligation by these states to fill these beds to 100% capacity, there's just something wrong about that, you know, at its core.
The idea of the criminal justice system supposedly is to rehabilitate people and to find ways to keep you from committing crimes. And it sounds like if you have a set number of people, a quota, like you do with traffic tickets or anything else, you gotta create laws and stuff to be able to arrest enough people to keep those beds filled. At least on an economic basis, it makes sense. It doesn't, you know, the other thing that bothers me, which is when you put people in a private prison, you take away the responsibility that we as citizens have for the people that we've incarcerated. You know, when someone's incarcerated, they are basically a ward of the state. And when you give that responsibility over to an entity that wants to make money, and that's their only real goal, then the welfare of those prisoners is not high on their list.
No, not at all. And this is a trend that we've seen existing in all of the major private prison companies is, again, the human rights violations first and foremost. And this is something that is documented not only by ACLU, but the Bureau of Prisons themselves, the General Accounting Office. These are the Red Cross. I mean, we have international agencies as well as our own set-up system of government of checks and balances of accountability. These people are screaming that the practices going on behind these walls are against these people, against their own civil liberties. I mean, this is slavery from on the end result. We're talking about just bringing these people in and what's happening between the states and these private companies. That's just one aspect of it. But the slavery aspect being the selling of their labor is also undermining our economy because the jobs that were once sent offshore, we all felt the pinch of when jobs went away and free cheap labor was offshore somewhere and they could ship the goods back. Well, now even the foreign countries don't get that labor anymore because we have it right here behind prison walls.
You know, I saw an article just a day or so ago about how they're moving prison industries into the immigration prisons that they've built. And that just really blows me away because immigration prison was that, all right, you arrest folks that have violated the immigration laws and you hold them to make sure that you've, they have a hearing and everything else, and then you deport them. Why are these people in prison long enough to be workers in an industry? That didn't make much sense to me when I saw that article, and evidently they're holding on to people that they should be sending back to their home countries to be workers. To me, that's definitely slavery of a different type here or another type.
Exactly. Of course it is. But this is something that's going on. Also another pitfall of having the corporatization of incarceration in this country. These corporations are driving legislation. I'm sure you've heard of ALEC, the group who's always behind taking contributions and influencing legislation from state to state. We've detailed on New Abolitionist Radio several times through a move to abolish 21st century slavery through that group several times. We've documented the long money trail for companies like the Corrections Corporation of America or the GEO Group, which are the number one and number two largest private prison companies in this country, generating billions of dollars literally year in, year out. What they do with the money that they're generating billions, but they spend $20, $30, $40 million on lobbying our Congress, lobbying our lawmakers from state to state, sending money to these different organizations. So this is how these laws are on the books, like you're saying, even for the immigration situation. These companies, these private prison companies, have long contracts with ICE, the Immigration Customs Enforcement. They have long contracts with the U.S. Marshals Service, and they have quotas, daily quotas, where they have to keep a minimum of 3,000 or 4,000, or in some cases even more, thousands of people detained in these beds from day to day. They have a minimum quota, again.
I want to get to something, a couple little things here real quick. We're starting to run a little bit short on time. We've seen a number of laws that pass that criminalize kids being kids in school. And we're seeing kids that are, acting up in school, which they do because they're immature, they're young, they're still learning, and being sent to jail for it. Is this just our paranoia, or are there really some folks here that are going to be, super predators or some baloney?
Well, I think it's really the darkest corner of this arena that we're discussing. It's the most abusive aspect of the slavery proposition as we're looking at it. It has been preying on our youth. Like you said, a lot of these kids are growing up and learning their way. There's a social responsibility to help us raise these kids and not just find a way to criminalize them. And all of the studies that are done on this are showing and proving that when you criminalize these children, you truly do corrupt who they become as adults. So it's not even the same thing as taking an adult that has made a mistake and then giving them an opportunity to sit down for a while and figure out what's going on, and hopefully when they come out, you know, they're not going to do that same thing again. When you start criminalizing these children, and this goes from whether it's school discipline, as we saw in the Kids for Cash scandal in Pennsylvania, these were primarily white, bred, suburban, regular old teenagers that were getting thrown in the prison system for things, not even school fights, for talking back to teachers, for throwing a spitball, for walking through the hall without a pass. I mean, whatever you could get, they were selling these kids into the private prison system, selling them to these day camps. And this is corrupting these children's minds. This is breaking their spirits at such a young age. There's better ways to deal with what's going on than just throwing them in the jail. And once they get in jail, throwing them in solitary confinement further corrupting them.
Okay, Yohanan, the last thing I want to do is have you talk a little bit about the radio show, the New Abolitionist Radio, and tell people where they can find it. You guys have an archive of your shows up also, and about the other shows that are on the network there.
Well, sure. As I said, the Black Talk Radio Network has a plethora of shows, a Political Prisoner Radio, not only just the New Abolitionist Radio, the Black Talk Radio News, on and on with community-focused, community-centered, grassroots-level activism, actionism, encouraging people to get involved. You can find our show at New Abolitionist Radio. That's abolitionist plural, because there's more than one of us. New Abolitionists Radio, .blogspot.com. And once you get to that link, then you can see all of what's going on with the Black Talk Radio Network overall. You can see all of the different shows that are there from the homepage. But again, we're on Facebook, New Abolitionist Radio, pretty straightforward. You can find us there. Our group is Move to Abolish 21st Century Slavery, where we encourage everyone that's involved to pass links, pass information, share with us whatever you're finding in your corner of the world. And this way we're able to get a clear vision into what's really going on in the unsaid. This is the unspoken, and we're not going to be challenged by reforming the system. This is what gives people the power to step out of the fear to challenge tearing down this system. So let's come together and work together and build up our strength and step out of the fear of speaking truth to power.
I want to thank you very much for coming on today, and we'll work this out and get you guys on again somewhere in the future and talk some more about this. I want to remind everyone, don't forget to tune in to the Heartland Labor Forum this Thursday. I'll be talking with someone about the prison industries, what's actually going on behind the bars. Up next is the calendar of events, and after that, Jessica Thomas will update us on the newly passed medical cannabis laws in Missouri. Now, the calendar.
And now the calendar for May 26, 2014. Mothers of Incarcerated Sons and Daughters invites you to Women of Courage 2014, Saturday, June 7th from 3 to 5 p.m. at the St. Monica Parish Fellowship Hall, 1616 Paseo Boulevard, Kansas City, Missouri. This annual event honors women who have made a difference in our community and whose work promotes strong family ties. For more information, contact Beverly Livingston at bev.livingston@sbcglobal.net or call 816-337-5876. The Criminal Justice Task Force will meet Monday, June 2nd from 6:45 to 8:45 p.m. at the Church of the Good Shepherd, 4947 Sholto Drive, Kansas City, Missouri. For more information, contact Robin Johnson at 816-468-7894 or email redrob2655@yahoo.com. The Kansas City Chapter of Missourians for Alternatives to the Death Penalty will meet Tuesday, May 3rd from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at the All Souls Unitarian Universalist Church, 4501 Walnut, Kansas City, Missouri. Also, the Education Task Force and Speakers Bureau subcommittees will meet Friday, May 30th. Call 816-206-8692 for location. My name is Keith Brown-Eal, reminding you that these events and more can be found on the Jaws of Justice Radio Facebook page, as well as the Jaws of Justice Radio page on the KKFI website, kkfi.org. Up next is Jessica Thomas and her update on the medical cannabis.
And we will be updating you on the medical cannabis in just a moment. Joining me on the telephone today is Shelna Banda on the phone with me this morning on KKFI. Good morning, Shelna. Are you there?
Good morning. Yes, I'm here.
Yay. We this morning, you know, I had planned on talking with Eben Thampy, who is, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Eben, but he is on the boots on the ground in Jeff City and a lobbyist, as it were. But he is paying great attention to what we've got going on right now in our efforts to make the medicine accessible to patients who need it. What I do know so far is that we did pass a hemp bill, which have you heard of this by chance?
Well, I've heard of a few hemp bills, but I'm unsure of particular one you're talking about.
Right. That's what I, you know, just to briefly tell people, we did get something passed which allows for a patient who, for the growing, so the cultivation and the extraction of CBDs from cannabis, and in the language, so there will be able to cultivate it, yet it's still THC is still illegal. So I'm not really sure how that whole law is going to work. I was hoping to discuss that with Eben when he came in today, but that he was unable to join us. So we just kind of thought briefly we'd touch on it. I do understand that if you are a patient and you have failed at three traditional treatments for this form of epilepsy, then you can grow, cultivate, and extract CBDs from cannabis plants. So that's what I know about that law. And then the second, which had everybody just buzzing about a decriminalization, actually was by default. Our governor would not sign into law this decriminalization, which would decriminalize the possession of 10 grams or less. If you've never had a cannabis offense, and then it doesn't go into effect till 2017. So I just want to let people know, don't get so excited about that, because that's not even on the table.
Right.
And I suggest, don't err on the side of caution, because we know how terrible. Yeah. Oh, yeah, and we do need to let people know what CBDs are. And I'll let you do that so you don't have to sit there going, Jessica, you want me to call you to talk and you don't shut up.
I do have a bit of some interference going on. Sounds like I've got a busy signal or something.
I hear it, too. Do you want to hang up and try to call back? Jeff is in manning the phone, so I don't have to do that. Do you want to try it? And we'll try another line.
Yeah, let me call that, because I'm having a hard time hearing you a little.
She's hearing
me. Let me call you right back.
Right. Do that, Shonda. Okay, so we're having to reset the phone line there, because she was receiving a busy signal on the other line, and I think I know what it was. So she's going to call right back, and we're going to continue this discussion. Now people probably want to know, I've opened up that whole can of worms, what exactly is CBDs? What are CBDs, and how does that affect us? Okay, so here I go. Okay, here we go. Let's try that. How about that?
Oh.
Much better?
So much better. Okay. So the bill on hemp, bringing hemp into this country, is amazing. But going towards a CBD-only oil is not as amazing as it sounds.
Oh,
it does help people. There are a lot of people out there that are having tremendous results with the CBD-only pill or oil. But with people who are having many, many seizures a day, the CBD-only pill is helping them cut it in like half. people who are taking a full spectrum of cannabinoids in their oil, including THC, are having complete remission. So people cannot be afraid of the THC. In fact, when you have a broad spectrum of cannabinoids within the oil of the plant, the CBDs counteract what any, not any of the psychoactive effects, but they counteract a lot of the psychoactive effects that the THC can bring up.
Right. And for, you know, to clarify for sure, we're looking at the CBD only. Now, this is, and what we know so far, because there has been some study done, and there's been quite a bit of work and experimentation on, of course, the people who have been trying this, irregardless of the law. So the CBDs, are more effective in a brain situation where you're working in conditions that involve the brain. Epilepsy, post-traumatic stress syndrome, MS.
Right. It's a neuroprotectant,
right.
But it also helps everyone.
Right.
Because
so
of how the endocannabinoid system works.
Right. And then adding the THC, you're including all of the other areas of the body, like disease, cancers, AIDS, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, you know, the whole list of things. But you're only addressing a certain point. So I think we got that clarified. But I know you and I aren't the scientists and the guys to be able to speak to, you know, the scientific fact and evidence. We have that, you know, the evidence through various stories, and this is why, you know, hence the legalization, so that it can open up and rescheduling for study, because we don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the thing is what people are trying to do is they're trying to corporatize and privatize this plant, and pharmaceutical companies are jumping in on it. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to single out the different cannabinoids of this plant to find out what they're going to do. But they're having tremendous results in certain areas, like I said, but when you make it from naturally, from what nature provides you, she gives you the perfect mixture of cannabinoids within each plant. We just have to figure out how to use them and what strains work better for each illness or each person. Everyone is different. The thing is we watched it all go down in Colorado when I was there, when I first got out there. And, you know, these growers who have been doing it for years and years and years went out and said, you know, here's what I am, here's what I do, here's how much I grow, and here's where I live. And they let it go for a full year. Free trade was flourishing, and people were able to sell their product to the dispensaries, and everybody was benefiting. Until regulations came in and said, oh, no, you have to have thousands and thousands of dollars in order to start a huge warehouse and corporation, and everyone must work with the government. It's a plant. It's nature. It's the most non-toxic substance on the planet. We shouldn't even be discussing this. The reason why we're in the situation that we're in, with more and more people coming up with cancer and disease and illness, is because we've taken the pharmaceutical road and gone away from nature, and we've all been brought up on boxed food and been eating GMOs for generations. So we have to get back to nature, as far as I'm concerned, and the only way to really benefit from this is to repeal it completely. And Jennifer Wynn is running for governor in Kansas, and she has vowed to repeal all laws surrounding this plant, giving control to people and not the government and corporations.
And that's where I stand, and a lot of people. It's like, what universe, in what world is it all right to be penalized, families destroyed, people enslaved, incarcerated, your lives ruined by our government, and then have them come up and say, well, sorry, you were right, but now we're going to sell this to you. We're going to grow it. We're going to sell this to you, and we're going to distribute this to you. In what world is that all right? Where is this fair and just?
People don't know that the government has patented I think they've got over 10,000 patents.
A lot of our listeners,
the different cannabinoids of this plant.
But they're
not allowing us to use it.
Right. A lot of our listeners do know that because they listen to KKFI and they listen to Jaws and Justin, and they've been hearing that, you know, hearing these facts. So that is, you know, we're really blessed to be able to be speaking to an audience of semi-enlightened and enlightened people, which I'm really proud to say. We're leading the charge with this whole thing, but it's where we are able now to see democracy in action. This is a perfect time, a perfect example for people to join. As they say, united we stand, divided we fall, and that's exactly what's happened. They've managed to divide and conquer, but now it's a perfect opportunity for people to heal. This is a healing of a nation. If you don't believe me, look in your book, the book that people refer to as the Bible.
Right.
This is a time, an opportunity to heal the nation. It's an opportunity for us to see democracy in action and to develop a complete economy based on weed, the people, in order to make a more perfect life. Replug into our source.
Oh, absolutely. Can you imagine how much this country can flourish if we, the people, had the power to create different products from this plant and just grow and trade with each other? We all know I'm getting way too far ahead of myself.
I know. We have to stop and remember.
But I think it can be a new commodity. Our dollar has gone down the drain, absolutely. And people really need to understand and realize this absolutely could be a real new commodity in the future.
There are only two things that cannot be replaced by cannabis, and it's metal and glass.
Right.
And that's deep. So, you know, that could be everything from that can replace so many things that are not sustainable in our world. And as we're seeing the effects of our you know, plastics in the environment, animals washing up on shore, their bellies full of plastic bags, starving because they're choked from the plastic that, you know, waste that we have. And it could be replaced by, a biodegradable product.
Right. And it's amazing because if we were to live in a perfect world and everybody could go out and plant hemp in their fields tomorrow, we could have clean air and start to recycle our ecosystem completely.
And recover from the damage we've done.
Absolutely, absolutely. And stop using our fossil fuels and use hemp instead.
I'd be remiss, if I did not mention Shonda, you are an author, and you wrote a book, Live Free or Die.
Yes.
It's like, oh, just a little afterthought. And that's actually where I heard of you originally, and I'd be remiss if I didn't give you the opportunity just to let people know the title. And what that's about really quickly, because, you know, we could go off on this for, this is a topic that cannot be over-discussed.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Well, I grew up in Garden City, Kansas, and I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease in 2002. And for 7.5 years, I lived with debilitating symptoms of the severe flu with constant diarrhea, nausea, vomiting. And I ended up, just deteriorating and raising my kids on the couch. And in the end, I had rheumatoid arthritis and all this stuff. Well, I had watched Christian Lorette's movie about Rick Simpson, Run from the Cure, and I knew I wanted to try that oil. I knew that just smoking it was helping me with my Crohn's disease, and I knew I wanted to try the oil. But I was in Kansas, and there was no way I was going to get an entire pound of medication to make the 2 ounces I needed. So after my lungs had collapsed twice in a month, we went and got a vaporizer online, and I was lost reading a book and pinched off that hose in that vaporizer too long and noticed oil forming in the dome. And I started eating that oil 3 times a day after scraping it out and putting it into a pill. And in 3 days, I didn't need the use of my cane to walk. And I very literally went from feeling like I was dying and deteriorating to, by day 3, knowing that I was going to survive. And the results were so profound that I had to start writing a journal. And I wrote my book, you know, here in Kansas and went out to Colorado to get it published. And, you know, tried to make it up in Colorado and just couldn't. It was hard to just up and move my family to another state and try to get involved in this movement when everyone else was trying to do it as well. So after separating from my husband, I just couldn't afford to stay, and I've come back home. So
there are many. I had a wonderful lady named Abby. She's a patient as well and a refugee. And there are a lot of Missourians and Kansans that are in Colorado that they're very grateful for the opportunity to have access to their medicine. They would die without it, literally. And,
absolutely.
But they can't come home, and they want to come home. They miss home. They miss their structure, their lifeline. And it is hard to up and move, and you have to in order to get the access to what you need to have and be not so afraid that your door is going to be kicked in and your life is going to be destroyed and your family taken away.
It's a wonderful feeling being that free, being able to walk down the street knowing that you're going to be fine. It's a wonderful feeling. But the thing is I went out there and I tried so hard. I ended up homeless 3 times before I ended up coming back home. I really did try and struggle, but I just couldn't do it. And it breaks my heart having to ask anyone to put themselves through what I had to go through. You shouldn't have to uproot your entire family to go somewhere else to save your own life. It should be a right, an absolute right, to be able to stay on this earth and be comfortable within your own body.
And we're
it makes no sense to me.
Yeah, and being that this is a Memorial Day weekend, we remember those who fought for our freedoms and. You know, I do another show on Sunday mornings, 4 to 7 a.m., called Before the Dawn, and really got to thinking about our country has become more and more like the enemies that we fought against in other countries all over the world for democracy. We have become our own enemy. And these men can go over and they fight in many cases have given their lives. Those that come home haven't been coming home whole. They aren't well adjusted. They are suffering from PTSD. There is such a epidemic. We have over 1,900 American soldiers who have committed suicide this year. It's epidemic. Yet these men can go fight for our freedoms, this democracy, try to spread democracy and this idea, this concept of love and fairness, and yet come home and part. Maybe there's a few VA hospitals that offer cannabis as a post-traumatic stress syndrome, you know, a way of dealing with it, and a host of other problems. Yet in these states, these same soldiers, they're now criminals, are not allowed access to the things that inherent right, our constitutional rights and freedom. So on this Memorial Day weekend, I thought that it was more that we memorialized the way that we lived and our ideal. And, of course, due honor to all those that had lost their lives in battle, but also to, you know, to honor our struggle here at home right now, having become the enemy of our own selves.
Yeah, it's so sad to watch, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It is so sad to watch because these boys, they are not whole when they come back. They've got that a distant look in their eyes, every single one of them, and I would not even want to try to imagine or fathom what they have gone through and what they've been made to do over there, you know. So I don't agree with the war. I believe that our government has been trying to build an empire for a few generations, and it is backfiring on us. And you know, the American people are finally waking up and seeing the truth, allowing these men who have gone and, you know, fought for our country and that honor. They should have absolutely every right to use a natural plant. People don't even realize that most of the people who use cannabis are law-abiding citizens otherwise. You know, I don't speed. I don't steal. I don't, you know, go up and rob anyone. You know, I don't do anything else illegal. I'm just trying to save my own life. And it shouldn't be wrong. It shouldn't be wrong to feel good in your own body. And when you have PTSD, you're constantly bombarded by previous memories and horrendous thoughts that just won't go away. They continue to loop until you can let them go. And when you can use the plant, especially smoking the plant with PTSD, you're allowed to let it go and let it be. And it allows them to be good in their own bodies and can lead a more functional life.
You know, Shonda, we're at the last 4 minutes of the show. I'm reminding my listeners that you're listening to The Jaws of Justice on 90.1 FM and KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. And I didn't purposely give out the phone number too often here, 816-931-5534, because we're close to the very end of the program, and it's really hard because this is such a wide topic. We could go into so many areas of discussion, and we try to keep it in our own areas of expertise, but it's time to open that dialogue. My guest, Shonda Banda, has written a book called Live Free or Die. She is a Kansan, and so you're within our listening radius, and you have gone out to Colorado to attempt to be free as a medical cannabis refugee, and now you're not. And we're not going
right.
to. We're not. And so, yeah. And doing. And it's really that they do need you here in this part of the country to continue this dialogue, to be an activist. Because if not us, if not you, who?
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's why I wrote the book when I did, because I was expecting, you know, I'm finding all this new stuff out, and this works so great. How come no one's screaming this? Where else? You know, where can I find more information? There was just none. And I knew that I needed to bring it out. So, and I figured if I can do it, others can do it. And, you know, just paying it forward is how we've gotten to where we are today. And if we just continue to do it, we are going to win.
I agree with you completely. And so we just have a couple minutes left, like really 2 minutes. And do you want to tell people, where do you suggest they start? Myself, I tell people to go to phoenixtears.ca if they're looking to begin that journey, if they have reached that point where chemotherapy is their only option and or surgeries, that they go to phoenixtears.ca to begin their journey. Also, another great place, I think, is PubMed, and loosely search the government's website or .gov, PubMed, or the Institute. I'm sorry. I'm trying to think of the website offhand, but .org.
I think it's PubMed.gov.
Yeah, .gov.
And then David Worrell off of Facebook has done a phenomenal job by collating a bunch of scientific information per disease. So if you're looking for science, you can go to thctotalhealthcare.com, and David Worrell has compiled just an absolutely brilliant list of science to back up innumerable amounts of disease and illnesses, and cancer, of course. So that's a great one to check out as well.
Shonda, I really like to thank you for taking the time and give us a call this morning. I think Kansans need to know that there are people fighting on their behalf. This is a subject that really needs to be a dialogue that really needs to be open, and you need to speak to everyone about it, because the life that you save could very well be your own or your child's or your mom's.
Yeah, absolutely. For the love of humanity, we must teach each other.
I do. I'd like to thank you for joining me today, Shonda.
Thank you so much for having me on, Jennifer.
Jessica, but you're cool.
I'm sorry.
Actually, my sister's name is Jennifer, and a lot of people get us confused all the time. So I totally don't take offense at that. Hey, girl. All right. Thank you so much, and you have a blessed day.
All right. You
we'll
too. Bye-bye.
To you soon. Bye-bye. That was Shonda Banda, and she's author of Live Free or Die. We've been discussing cannabis and the right to have that and memorializing those who have fought for our freedoms. And we believe it's a constitutional right in the pursuit of health and happiness to have this.
Ready? One, two, three. What am I gonna do now? Am I gonna make it? Some way, somehow. Well, maybe I'm not supposed to know. Maybe I'm supposed to cry. If nobody ever knows the way I feel, that's all right. That's okay, 'cause I'm gonna
make my world
a better
place.
Gonna keep that smile
on my face.
Yeah, I'm gonna teach.
We hope you enjoyed today's show and that we leave you with something to think about, something to talk to your neighbors about, and a reason to get involved. As always, the opinions expressed are those of the host and guests of Jaws of Justice Radio, not of KKFI, the Midcoast Radio Project Incorporated, its staff, or volunteers. To find a link to audio of today's show, our calendar of events, and more, check out Jaws of Justice Radio on Facebook. To contact us, send an email to jawsofjusticeradio@yahoo.com. And to find out about future shows, check us out on KKFI's website, kkfi.org. My name is Jeff Humfeld. We thank our engineers, Joe Henderson and Mike Murphy, host of the Wednesday Morning Buzz. Please tune in for the rest of our 9 a.m. weekday lineup with Law and Disorder on Tuesday, Alternative Radio on Wednesday, Tell Somebody with Tom Flammer on Thursday, and Between the Lines at 9 a.m., followed by Bioneers at 9:30 a.m. on Friday. Up next is Beautician's Blues with Luscious Lynn, and at noon, Arts Magazine with Michael Hogue. Stick around for Jazz and Blues in the afternoon and Eco Radio KC at 6 p.m. Then, round out your day with the spicy Latin sounds of Sabor Latino and Fiesta Musicale. Today's outro theme music is Better Man, from the Playing for Change Songs Around the World CD.
I'm gonna get back up. It'll be alright. It'll be okay. Well, I'm gonna
make my world
a better place. Go keep that smile on my face. Go teach myself how to understand. Go make myself a better man.
It's the 420 Drug War News.
I'm your guest host, Doug McVeigh, editor of DrugWarFacts.org. Turning now to medical cannabis. On March 29th, California Normal reported that, for the first time, a federal judge has granted a hearing on a motion to declare unconstitutional the continued classification of marijuana in Schedule 1. The evidentiary hearing is currently set for June 2, 2014, at 9 a.m. before Judge Kimberly Mueller in Sacramento. For a fuller explanation of the case and its implications, let's hear first from a very good friend of mine, the brilliant attorney and Normal National Legal Committee member, Alan Silber. Alan spoke at the Patients Out of Time conference at a pre-conference legal workshop. Here he is.
Allow me to give one more, I think, really exciting recent development, which is not quite medical necessity, but it is back to know your science. And the case is United States versus Schwerford out of the Eastern District of California. Has anybody heard about this? Yeah, well, I know Mike has. Okay, so here is a possibly one of the most exciting developments in our jurisprudence that I know of. These two young San Francisco women lawyers who are fighting an 846 marijuana conspiracy case, large conspiracy case, many, many co-defendants. And they filed a motion with this judge, Kimberly Mueller, and they filed a motion to dismiss the indictment on equal protection grounds, on the grounds that marijuana was just different from the other substances that are banned by 846, and that there is so much science that says it's a not harmful disease, it's good medically, and the medical is part of this motion. And you know, Matt and I were doing the case in the Ninth Circuit trying to enjoin the U.S. attorneys from their attacks on medical marijuana, and truthfully, in the year and a half of litigation, we never hit a loud foul. And these people got a hearing. They are going to be allowed to produce medical evidence on June 2nd. And the judge, the government went, the government went slightly nuts and moved to reconsider. And Judge Mueller denied the motion to reconsider on very erudite grounds and decided to treat the motion as a motion to clarify. And what she said was, and what she asked for briefing on, and I think the first brief is scheduled to be filed Friday by these two young, wonderful lawyers from San Francisco. And the issue is, first, what is the level of scrutiny? Are we going to do strict scrutiny because we have a fundamental right at issue, or are we just doing rational basis, which, truthfully, we're not going to win this issue unless we have strict scrutiny and a fundamental right. So the judge asked the government for briefing on the topic of, first, does she have to decide which level of scrutiny it is before the hearing? And secondly, if she does, what are the criteria?
You can hear the full discussion on the most recent Century of Lies. Dean Becker, DrugTruth.net.